And I guess that's only a collection of European CCTL data. And it.
Yeah, you may want to do some outreach to APNIC as well, or one of the other regional sort of larger bodies, like CCTLD bodies. I can't remember whether APNIC is IP address specific or CCTLD specific or both, similar to Center, but you poking around or maybe even talking to somebody on staff would be able to get you that guidance.
Right, okay. And then I think Barbara indicated that she would be able to get the survey out to the other CCTLDs, so maybe we get some responses from them as well. I don't see any reason not to do that.
Sure.
Okay. And then I guess the other issue, I think the hardest part of what lays before us is going to be the issue of the questionnaire to the other companies and industries to get feedback on their verification processes. That's going to be more complicated, I think, and for a lot of reasons, but we could talk about that as we get into this today.
Sure.
Ken Stubbs.
Hi, Ken.
Hi,
Ross is on the call, as well as Glenn.
And this is Franny. I also joined.
I apologize. I had some problems with the access code, so.
Hello, everyone.
Today,
morning, Ross.
This is Terry Clark.
Hey, Terry. How you doing? It's Brian.
Hello there.
We'll take a roll call in another couple of minutes, see who's on, and we'll proceed.
I actually have Angela in tow with me. Angela, you still there? Maybe not.
Okay.
Angela?
For everyone's information, Angela is with Terry's firm. She's going to be assisting Terry, who's the IPC alternate on the call, and helping us gather some of the information we're going to look for. We'll just be listening in and then taking directions from Terry, I guess. Is that right, Terry?
That's correct. Angela, are you still there? I'm going to hang up, guys, and I'll call back in.
Okay.
I want to make sure that I have her on the call.
All right.
Brian?
Yeah?
Barbara Resman might not be on the call. She wasn't on the calls on Monday and Tuesday, and she was having problems with her cellular phone. She is at a conference, I think. She's traveling.
Okay.
If she's not on the call, her apologies, please.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead, Glenn, and take a roll call real quick and see who's here, and then we'll get started.
Fine, I'll do that. Barbara Roseman, Sarah Deutsch, Marilyn Cade, Ken Stubbs.
I thought Ken was on the call.
I thought Ken was on the call, too, yes. Greg
Root. I pushed the mute button by mistake. I'm a little slow.
Greg Ruth, Franny Willings,
I'm here.
Ross Rader,
present.
Terry Clark, Terry will be back. Brian,
I'm back, guys.
Is that you, Terry?
Yeah, that's me.
Kiyoshi, and Vittorio Bertolo for the ALEC. Okay.
Why don't we go ahead and get started, and
so
other people join when we sort of fill them in.
GTRDs, non-commercials, registrars, and IPs. We're missing the business and the ISPs and the ALEC. Okay.
All right. As far as an agenda, I thought what we could talk about today, maybe in this order, would be the CCTLD questionnaire that I'd sent around, and then the questionnaire that Sarah Deutsch put together for the other industries and companies in those industries, and then the identification of those other companies. I'd put a list, and maybe we could those three things and get that ball rolling. So why don't we start with the CCTLD questionnaire that I had put together a while back. I think I sent it on around the 9th. And basically, there were roughly six questions. What do people think about those questions? Anything to add? Any proposed changes that we should do? Or can we go ahead and send that out to the our contact at Center, who I think is Elizabeth Portenouve, and have her include that in the survey that they're conducting? The only thought I had there, in Sarah's that she had drafted with respect to the questions that we're going to send out to other companies to see their patient practices, I thought I would go ahead and add her question 7, which was, do you have a process in place for receiving reports of inaccurate or false WHOIS data, and if so, what is that process? So if there's no objection, I'll go ahead and just add that question, finalize the CCTLD questionnaire, and send that off to Elizabeth Portenouve or to Glenn, and so that we can get that into them, and they can circulate that.
Hi, Greg Ruth joining.
Yeah, hey, Greg. It's Brian Darvell. We were just talking about the questionnaire to the CCTLDs.
Right.
Added a question that my proposal is to add one of the questions that Sarah had in her draft questions to the other companies about whether the CCTLDs have a process in place for receiving accuracy or false data. And to include that in the questionnaire to the CCTLDs, finalize that, and then send that out to the contact at Center. Is everybody in agreement with that, or do they have proposed changes?
Sounds good to me.
Okay, let's go ahead and do that. And then I was talking with Ross before everyone joined, and I believe Barbara said that she would be able to contact the CCTLD liaison and see if we can get this survey more widely distributed to the other CCTLDs who are not involved with Center. And and Ross also mentioned APNIC as another possible source. So that probably makes sense. And why don't we go ahead and do that as well? Do people have any thoughts on that?
Or APNIC just popped into my head. I don't even know if they're appropriate, but just really expanding the number of organizations we send that to.
Okay. All right. I'll work with why don't I work with Barbara Roseman on that?
Is APNIC relevant in this, or is it another organization?
Well, APNIC's like Center, Ross.
It is like Center? Okay.
I hate to use the term trade association. Let's put
it
this way. It's a collective group of entities with common interests relating to CCTLDs in the Asia-Pacific region.
Okay.
And they have their own staff and executive committee as well. So it would be, it's almost, it's very, very comparable to Center. In many ways.
Right.
Anybody have any contacts at APNIC that we can would be appropriate to send the survey to?
My suggestion would be to send it possibly, start with Liana, I can't pronounce her, Lina Ravending Green. I'm sure people here on this call know Lina. If not, Pindar Wong is very active in the APNIC, and at least they'll get it to the right people.
Okay, I'll send the phonetic spellings of those names to Barbara, who may already...
Actually, I have the email addresses. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will forward those email addresses to you, Brian.
Okay.
And if not, I know that Glenn has Pindar's email, because Pindar's a former board member and
yes.
is on some of the ICANN committees. So.
Let's do that, and I'll try to get this out to Center today, and to maybe to Glenn for circulation to APNIC and other CCTLDs later today as well, so we can get that ball rolling.
Speaking of APNIC, I thought I'm going to forward this out to members of the committee, but I might wanted to let you know that I received a note today. The Australian government is putting a bill through right now that's going to significantly increase the requirements for vetting a domain name registrations, both for intellectual property protection, but as much fraud. So I think it might be an idea for us to at least do a little bit of outreach and find out exactly what the current status quo is on a lot of the major nations as to how they're dealing with this in terms of their own legislation. It might help us with trends.
I missed the first part of your statement, Ken. Who is putting out that bill or that legislation?
The Australian government.
Australia, okay. Okay.
Yeah, there's an agency set up to... and basically what it says here is the committee's report on fraud and e-commerce released yesterday also recommends tightening rules for registering company or internet domain names. This would prevent the practice of registering business names that are only slightly different from existing names and for fraudulent purposes. So they're really starting to tighten up in some areas of the world as a result of a lot of the fraud that's going on.
Right. Why don't we add, as a question to the CCTLD questionnaire, what laws or regulations do you currently have in place regarding the accuracy of WHOIS data? And please summarize those provisions, something like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because clearly this the most effective, I'm not a lawyer, but it would seem to me legislation in Australia is going to be most effective in dealing with domains that are registered in the .au space. So, you know.
Okay. All right.
I'm sure that there's also laws in other countries that impact registrations in their own CCTLD space as opposed to, let's say, administrative policy by the CCTLD managers.
Okay. That sounds good. All right, so I'll add that to the CCTLD questionnaire. And the next issue, I guess, would be the questions that Sarah Deutsch came up with that would be a survey to the other companies and industries, which she circulated by, which Glenn circulated January 10 by email. Any comments to the questions Sarah came up with?
What day were they? Oh, there they are. Sorry. Not to the questions themselves necessarily.
Right. I know you had an issue about the companies, and we'll get to that next. But I think the questions look pretty reasonable and seem to cover the waterfront. Unless anyone else has any suggestions, we'll just go ahead and use that as the current template, and then we'll end it on the eve of sending it out if something else comes up. But if everyone thinks this is okay, we'll just go with it. What do you all think?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm good with it.
Okay. All right. Looks good. Or we'll do that. Next issue, I guess, is the industries and companies that would be surveyed. I came up with this list fairly quickly on Monday morning, some of which came out of the January 7 call dealing with where somebody suggested that we look at cellular companies, so I've added in a few of those. Banking and financial struck me as something that would be perhaps analogous. I guess I've added in some travel companies as well as some online services. What do folks think about that list and those companies, and what, if any, proposed additions or do you have?
This is Ken Stubbs. Can you put me in the queue, please?
Yes. Please proceed.
Oh, okay. I used to manage a financial institution years ago, and in light of, especially in the United States, in light of the issues that financial institutions have with money laundering, as well as now the issues that the financial institutions have with the new internal security requirements, my personal feeling is putting financial institutions into a questionnaire like this is just going to bias the hell out of things. Because, I mean, you know as well as I do, it's getting to the point where in order to open a checking account at a financial institution in the United States, you're required to submit two or three forms of ID, and they're now requiring, at least in Florida now, either a passport or they're almost to the point where they're requiring either a birth certificate or a passport because there's so many fraudulent driver's licenses. So, I mean, it's just so far off the scale in terms of being relative to what we're dealing with. I'm afraid it would be it might very well be argued that we specifically collected something like that to bias, and that's just the way I feel.
Yeah, I'd echo Ken's comments. I think if we're looking to drive towards a statement of best practices, we should be looking for relevant practices in relevant industries. And I'm not sure that focusing on big multinational corporations with really different businesses are operating in very, very different environments from what the DNS is, i.e., as Ken pointed out, you know, banking and their imperatives. I'm just not sure we're going to get to a relevant statement at the end of the day. And that's really what I was trying to bring out on the mailing list this week.
Yeah, the thing I'm most concerned about is credibility. If the results of this task force need to be viewed as credible, and there needs to be, we need to make sure that we don't end up in a situation where people feel that the approach that was taken was specifically biased against something like that. So when we start getting a little off the scale, it just leaves meat open for this kind of criticism, and I don't want to have to start defending what I consider to be a credible work here because we just happened to select one industry that we really should have stayed away from. That's all.
All right. Putting aside the banking financial services, what about the other industries and companies identified in items 1 through 6? Comfortable with including companies in the survey?
I'd have to reiterate what I just said, Brian. I don't think that focusing on large multinational corporations is going to get us a statement of relevant practices that we're going to need to drive towards a decent statement of best practices.
So you would take out the telecom companies? Is that what you're saying? I understand what you're saying about the banking and financial services, and that does make some sense. But I think when you start looking at some of these other things where it's not, you know, you don't have the security concerns that color the process, that criticism doesn't necessarily apply. At least it doesn't in my mind. And so I think if we're supposed to look elsewhere, I mean, that much is clear, then I think we should, I guess I don't see a reason not to include the other categories.
Brian?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you there. I think that one of the reasons we could look at industries like the mobile, especially cellular, is because we can look at trends as to how this is being used. And the one thing that the cellular, especially the prepaid, gives you is you can't argue that the reason they're asking for all of this additional data is to ensure collectability of a financial obligation. Because if we argue that this is being done and that is being done, and someone could turn around and say, yeah, the only reason they're asking for all this is they want to be able to collect the bill that once they sent the statement out, we need to point out that it isn't just a matter of requiring data to connect an entity's financial position in a relationship, but rather for other reasons as well. So I don't have a problem with especially with the cellular. With the telcos, I wish Sarah was on the phone or Marilyn, because I'd sure like to hear the argument there other than to ensure collectability.
I have a hard time understanding the relevance, though, Ken. We're dealing with, you know, very different animals here and very different scales here, I think, more to the point. And, you know, so looking at what AT&T is doing with their cellular operations and trying to map that to what, you know, even what a company like Network Solutions is doing, let's pick on the biggest registrar operation in the mix. I have a hard time mapping how the practices of a company like AT&T or Sprint are going to even be remotely relevant to what Network Solutions is going to have to ultimately do. And so that's where I'm falling down with these, with including these companies. It's such a leap of scale and process that I have a hard time comprehending how we can get to a relevant statement of best practice at the end of the day.
Well, Ross, Brian, I'll step back if my else wants to speak to that. You can just put me in the queue because I don't want to monopolize.
I don't know. Anyone else have thoughts on that?
If not, then I'll respond. Ross, you're right. If we were talking about AT&T, not this cellular, but the AT&T or Verizon or Pac Bell or the big telcos, I would agree with you. But let me give you an example, again, like the one I made with the requirements for the prepaid cellular, especially with the European carrier.
Mm-hmm.
As the need, what it really boils down to, in the case of prepaid cellular, as the need not to ensure collectability in a financial transaction has decreased in the case of prepaid cellular in Europe,
mm-hmm.
and as competitive pressures from other cellular companies have increased, we see in Europe, for instance, that they're loosening up on the requirements for information to be provided at the time that one acquires.
Sure, sure.
So it's a trend. In other words, in order to establish how we can move forward best practices, I think what we need to do is try to show what can be expected in the future based on what we're seeing in the past. That's all I was proposing. I'm not using it to argue a specific point, but only
sure.
to show a certain type of behavior. And if the only reason the registrars are collecting piles of information is because they want to make sure that they have somebody to send a bill to, that's one thing. But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I absolutely do. I absolutely do, Ken. I think even, with cellular, you make a really good case why it should be included. So, you know, perhaps I should even set that aside in my objection. But even when you look at, a company like eBay, what did they do in their last quarter? Something like $175 million in revenue. It's a big operation, and you can add up all the registrars. I don't think you get to operations that big. So, you know, that's really where I'm going with this. So unless there's a compelling example to include these massive operations, for instance, as you point out with the cellular stuff, Ken, I'd be inclined to stick to operations more of the scale that are going to be similar to those that are going to have to implement them, you know, registries and registrars.
Well, the only question I would have with eBay, having been an eBay user now for 5+ years, is the reason that eBay keeps tightening up and tightening up is principally for fraud prevention and credibility.
Mm-hmm.
And even though they're a huge operation at this point in time, again, we're pointing to trends. You know, they didn't require much information at the very beginning. They're going the other way now because of rampant fraud.
Sure.
And trying and for consumer protection. So I have to take the other perspective compared to the cellular, and that is that I think as governments and other people, organizations see higher concerns, not just with spamming, but with fraud and so forth, I see a trend moving in the other direction there. And I don't want to end up with an end product that everybody throws into the wastebasket because it's not practical considering the future trends people are seeing out there, in not just in the marketplace, but in how people are using internet and the domain names.
Sure, sure.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we keep cellular in, and if we can refine companies within that category, banking and financial, and then I think the rest of these probably should stay in.
Well, you know, let's continue down the list, Brian. I asked a question about VeriSign. And so what do we seek specifically to discover from them that is unique on this list?
Well, I mean, I think that they will have, they may have some practices that are germane to, you know, steps they take for the verification of who is data. And I think they would be worth taking a peek at. What do you think about that?
I question whether or not it's appropriate to single out specific enterprises within the GNSL. So if we're going to be looking at registries, perhaps we should look at registries. Or if we're going to look at certificates, PKI certificate suppliers, we should look at PKI certificate suppliers, not specifically VeriSign or specifically Afilias or specifically GeoTrust.
We do have to come up with companies within the industry, correct? I mean, at some point we have to get specific to get the information, right?
Well, we've queried registrars, generally speaking, without singling any out, and I think we can query registries as a group without singling any out.
Well, but I mean,
Let me cut to the chase. I have a hard time believing that VeriSign is a good example of any business practice, and simply asking them what they do isn't going to give us a representative sample of what registries are doing.
Well, why don't we add some additional registries to that category and see what their practices are? That'd be one way. I mean, here's the concern with David, of polling people generally about their practices, you know, as a group. This phase, as I understand it, is we're supposed to be getting data, and we're mm-hmm. supposed to be getting information. And if we do it in a way where we just go to a group and they come back with a position, I mean, that's really the second step of the process. Once we have the data, then we summarize it, and then the various constituencies get their opportunity to make a comment. What you're proposing is that we, instead of doing it that way, we basically get a comment up front, which really doesn't give us the raw data to work with to see what's being done.
No. What I'm suggesting is that we pull the registries for practice, not for position. And if Afilias wishes to involve themselves, I have no reason to suspect that they won't. Then they will give us that data. And if they choose to opt out, then they can opt out. But to single out specific organizations at the exception of others, I think it's not appropriate.
All right. Well, why don't we?
Do you have anything on that, Ken? Maybe I.
Well, I'm actually going to be a little naive on this. I thought the reason we were pulling VeriSign was not VeriSign in terms of the VeriSign registry, but rather finding out what VeriSign does for digital certificates, which frankly is of some interest to me, but I'd have to say if we're looking at VeriSign or how they deal with accumulating information behind digital certificates, and now they own Thought, they own just about everybody from that standpoint, that's of interest. If you're going to go after getting information from one registry, you'd be better off to, and the reason I say this is Ross's reaction is probably somewhat predictable, and that is that VeriSign is a little more controversial, so I'd rather you ask all the registries to provide the information with for you. The registries that are really expressing a strong interest in making sure that the product of the work of this task force has legitimacy and relevance are going to provide that information. Registries that are really have no interest in this thing will be no different than CCTLDs that have no interest. You're not going to get anything back.
All right.
Does that make sense, Brian, or does it just sound like a mumbling?
No, I understand. So basically then the idea would be to go ahead and just submit the questionnaire to the registries, to each registry, and then see what responses we get back.
Sure, because I think you'll probably get some very well-reasoned and complete responses from some of the registries. The other ones, you may get nothing at all.
All right. I don't have a problem with doing it that way. I think that makes some sense. So, all right, we'll just make number four. We'll just submit the questionnaire to the registries individually, though, and then, you know, those who respond, and those who don't. And then we'll look at those responses and analyze that.
Are you in a position to do any outreach on that, Ken, to make sure that we do get some responses back?
Yeah, once the questionnaire gets done, I can assure you I'll make the registries have biweekly meet, and I'll make it a point of making sure. Right now, David Maher, who is the chairman of PIR, but who also happens to have a significant interest in a lot of these issues, being the fact that he's also on the WIPO2 committee and so forth, I'm certain that David will strongly encourage the registries to pay. And one's will, you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, what about the travel companies? Any thoughts there?
What's the relevance there, Brian? I just don't understand it.
Well, I mean, we're supposed to look at
in other words, what was
your
thinking?
I mean, these are online.
No. Let me ask a more polite question. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be confrontational. What was your thinking behind including those?
Well, they're online businesses, and they invariably have practices in place that are designed to verify the accuracy of the data of the people they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So that can provide us information that we can then look at. I mean, I think. Identical situation, but at the same time, it may provide information on relevant practices to ensuring the accuracy of that can be applied to ensuring the accuracy of WHO's data. So that's the idea. That's what we're tasked. As I understand it, that's what we're tasked with doing: going out to other online service providers and taking their pulse on what they're doing, summarizing that information, and then making an assessment as to we would recommend it. You know. So that's the idea.
Are we going to get back simply, if we get any response from those organizations, are we going to get back a response that simply states that we're doing credit card verification and here's the Visa standards that we're turning to?
I don't know. I mean, I assume that may be part of what they get back, but what they're doing, and I think that's what we're looking for. And it may turn out that, you know, ultimately the information is not all that useful. And presumably during any comment period, constituency will have the opportunity to state its piece about whether it thinks something is or is not, you know, worth looking in our context. But we'll have to wait and see what they come back with.
All right.
What about the online news companies?
I was kind of surprised to see those there. Strictly from a, it was an honest surprise, not a shock surprise. But what type of data collection do they do that we're interested in?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know that you do have online subscriptions and that you can get, and presumably there's some data verification as part of that. So I'm that was the thinking behind including them. I mean, if people think it's not worthwhile, then we can, you know, we can reassess that.
I'm not responding only because I don't have a problem. You know, one of the things we're looking at, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brian, is we're looking at methodologies as well. So in some cases, it's not necessarily just motives, but rather methodologies that will maybe give us some guidance as to, you know, common key factors in methodologies that require certain data elements or require a certain process in order to ensure credibility at some specific level. So I don't have a problem with travel companies because nowadays there are additional obligations imposed on travel providers because of security concerns. So it isn't just a matter of buying a ticket anymore, especially those of you who travel internationally. You know that they're required to collect significantly more information than they used to be just 2 years ago. So, you know, I think that it's something that's it's in many ways can be relevant, but it's not necessarily relevant from it's more relevant from a methodology situation than or from a methodology perspective.
Okay.
I've got no problem with including it. I just it was kind of a surprise to see them there. That's all.
All right. In terms of the, are there any other industries that people think should be included that are not?
I'd like to see some examination of what the local and regional service providers are doing, i.e., internet service providers, web hosting operations, those types of organizations.
Okay. And you have a list of maybe an association that we could contact to get them to obtain some responses?
I can get some information together, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Rob? Why don't you put that together? Why don't we add that in and we'll make that another category and see if we can come up with some information there, and maybe we can include those in the survey as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then items 7 and 8, I mean, I only included them because early on Sarah had included them as possible.
Who is this UN body?
It's a UN center for to facilitate business, and I'm personally not familiar with them. What I thought we could do is, Terry, are you still on the call?
Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, I was wondering if maybe you could take items 7 and 8, and maybe you and Allison could look at, contact the UN Center and see what information they have about electronic business and look at the materials they have and see whether any of that deals with data verification and whether there's any methodologies there that might be of interest in possible application to, you know, what we're doing here. And then just summarize that in an email or a document, an attachment that we can circulate to the task force in a week or two on those two things. I think on the ENUM project, Sarah circulated a working paper that they had from a few months ago, which I think I have around somewhere. I don't know whether it was able to be emailed to everyone or whether it was filtered out, but it's fairly lengthy, but there's a section in there, maybe 10 or 12 pages, that deals with what they do on data verification.
So, well, back to the UN question, Brian, are we specifically reaching out to this organization, or are we simply looking at what's on their website?
Well, I mean, what do you all think? Maybe we could send them the questionnaire. We could find a contact and send it to them and see what they say, but we could also look at the publicly available information that's there and see if there's anything relevant. You know, I don't feel strongly either way. I think it might be worthwhile looking at what they already have put together and seeing if there's anything there that might be instructive.
I would urge caution against outreach without consultation with staff.
Well, what's the concern?
That there's likely several hundred protocol issues that we're not aware of that would need to be taken into account before we would conduct outreach to an organization like that.
All right, why don't we do this then? Why don't we just look at, Terry, if you would, just look at what materials you can get through their website and see what, if anything, that they may have that may be relevant, and then summarize that and circulate it to the task force, and then we can decide whether we want to pursue that further.
Okay, fair enough. If you could send me the few pages you have from your paper.
Some project? Yeah, I'll find that earlier email, and I'll send you that working paper, which Sarah had circulated. So you could deal with 7 and 8, and then...
With regards to number 8, could we actually, instead of reviewing draft documents of the ITF, which actually have no official status, could we rather instead solicit input from the working group chair? That would be Rich Shockey. He works for New Star, I believe. He's going to give us a much better indication of what isn't stated in those documents, and within the ITF, that is usually quite a substantial gap from what those documents actually say.
All right. Well, I think we ought to look at what the document says. I mean, recognizing that it's a draft. I mean, it's not obviously we're looking at this point really for ideas and methodologies. So I don't know that. There's any downside to doing that.
But there's huge downside, Brian. Anybody can write an internet draft and submit it to the ITF. So if they have no standing, those documents. So it would be better having literally an expert called in to give us, at least point us in the right direction as to what documents are have worth and which ones don't. And that would certainly be Richard.
What's his name again, Richard?
Richard Shockey.
And how do you spell his last name?
Shockey.
All right. Why don't we contact him then? We can just include him as survey and have him. But I do think it would be helpful, Terry, just to see what the draft says, and only for internal task force purposes. And if we decide later that, you know, we want to dismiss that, then we can go ahead and do it. I mean, it's not like we're wedded to it, but I don't see any reason to not look at what they've already circulated to see what ideas may be there that may be useful.
Okay.
Right. And then
if I could continue, Brian, I wouldn't mind including another company on that list.
Okay.
It's an organization called Ping ID. They work with digital ID solutions, specifically Liberty and Passport specifications, and build enterprise class applications that allow for identity management and all sorts of great things that fall out of that. And there is a tremendous wealth of information there that we can avail ourselves of.
And Ping ID?
Yeah, pingid.com is their website.
Excuse me, Brian?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have a little family emergency, so I'm going to have to leave the call early. I'll try to rejoin as quickly as possible.
Okay.
And just as a matter of disclosure, I know I haven't filled my, I haven't done my conflict of interest disclosure yet, despite Glenn's numerous reminders. We have no business with this organization. Two cows, I mean.
Yeah, no, I think that looks like a good idea, actually. We can use, include Ping ID to see what they might be able to provide. How do you propose including them, Ross?
I do know Eric. He's one of the founders. I don't mind reaching out to him.
I'd rather do it in a way that it's kind of formal, so we get their response.
No, absolutely. But I could just give him a call, say, Eric, expect something from Brian, and yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe what we could do is why don't we do this? We'll finalize the questionnaire, and then we'll talk about who can contact what or whom. Let's go through this really quickly. Page Cellular. I think what we're going to have to do is we're going to have people look at you know, members either on the task force or even of the constituencies who have contacts at some of these companies actually initiate the contact, or else it's going to be difficult to get anybody to respond. So why don't I do this? Why don't I revise this list, and we'll have, I guess, maybe Ken can help us with the prepaid cellular stuff and see what he can come up with there. And I'll send around a revised list. And Ross, if you could come up with some ISPs, web hosting companies, or perhaps some relevant associations to whom we might send the list that they could then send out to their members. And get that to me, and I'll include it in the revised list, and I'll try to circulate that later this week, and then we can finalize this. Maybe even before next Wednesday's call, and then figure out who's going to do what in terms of getting the survey in the right hands individuals at the particular organization's response. Now, in terms of a deadline for the response, what do you think we should be looking at for that purpose? I think we're supposed to target timeline. We're supposed to have constituency statements something like February 23rd. So that, working back from that date, and how long are they going to have to do their constituency statement? About 2 weeks? Any thoughts on that, anyone?
It typically takes our constituency 3 to 4 weeks to adopt anything. That's I'm not saying that we haven't done it faster, but that's typically what the process takes.
Okay. I'll put something in there about the timeline, and we can see what. What I'll do at this point is I'll revise the list of companies and circulate that for everybody. Get the ISPs and web hosting companies and perhaps relevant association there that we can send the survey to. That would be helpful. Go ahead and provide the information about Ping ID. I think we ought to look at what they're doing. And Terry, if you can get those other materials together from the UN and ENUM, just what's available, and summarize that for the task force only, be helpful. And then we can talk.
Hey, Brian, do you have a particular date in mind? I know you said about a week.
Yeah, why don't you say the 23rd? That's a Friday, a week from Friday. Is that doable?
Sure, I'll talk. Angela, why don't we talk after we get off here, and we'll make sure that we'll see if we can't make that deadline.
Sounds good. We'll make it.
Okay.
All right. Maybe Ken can come up with this, with the prepaid cellular companies he wants to go discuss with there. So I'll try to get that circulated by Friday, the revised list. Ross, if you can send me what you're going to send the same day, and I'll ask the questions, which I think are largely final at this point anyway, and we can then if people could respond to the email by indicating where they may have contacts, where they can get the survey in the hands of somebody with knowledge who can respond, helpful, because I think that's going to be one of the harder parts of this, is getting people to focus on this at the relevant companies and to get them to provide the information. So why don't we do that, and if people can send their the contacts that they may have at relevant companies, where they can perhaps transmit this survey, that would be helpful, and we can take it from there. Anything else we need to cover on this call? Okay. Well, why don't we go ahead and adjourn, and we'll have a follow up call a week from today, same time. In the meantime, we'll finalize the survey and the companies. All righty?
Sounds great.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Talk to y'all later.
Bye. Thank you.
Angela, I'll give you a call.